Now John the Baptist's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If one does, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, he pours new wine into new wineskins." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Thanks be to God. Jesus refers here to one of what God's people have always understood, even people who are followers of other gods have understood, to be a spiritual discipline, a practice that gives spiritual power and change in all the ways we long to experience it ourselves. Jesus was indeed bringing change. Some were concerned about the kind of change he seemed to be bringing. It seemed to be a loosening of the righteous structures God had put for his people, not an enforcement of them or an inspiration toward them. But today I wanted to talk about fasting. I really feel like in my years with you, we've never talked about this. And shame on me, but thank the Lord that he said, today's the day to talk about this. Some of us shy away from fasting as fast as we do a reptile. We don't want to be anywhere near that. That sounds uncomfortable and so unnecessary. Do I really have to do that? Surely I shouldn't. Surely it's not healthy. Surely I should just modify it slightly. But before we run for the hills, let us hear what's going on here and what's instructive for us. Why fasting? And when fasting? Verse 18, we find that there's a purpose for it. It expresses a need for God. It's a longing for him to come and visit. The disciples of John the Baptist have followed the Pharisees' lead. They fast because they're longing for the kingdom to come. John has taught them to repent and be baptized so that they'll be ready to enter in. It's that expression inside that says, I long for things to change here. Oh, indeed, they longed for things to change. They longed for deliverance from Roman oppression and all of the taxation and the unscrupulous ways that the Romans dealt with them. They wanted to be free of that. That was the kind of change they were looking for. So both the religious leaders and the people who were following this movement under John really said, we got to fast because we want to see the kingdom come. My friends, that's always a good reason to fast. That inner desire that says, I want to see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth, that's what inspired even the critics of Jesus in this verse. And it's one that can inspire us too. Nothing wrong, everything right with longing for God's kingdom to come, for joy and peace to abide in our relationships, to see God honored, to see a righteous path followed. Do we want that? Do we earnestly desire and are willing to show our need for God? Yes, I hope so. It's definitely one of the reasons for fasting. In the next verse, Jesus gives a response. A response about a wedding. Imagine this for a moment. You've gone to a wedding of a good friend, and now you're at the reception, and as always, we wait for the entrance of the bridal party. And then finally, the music goes loud, and the DJ goes nuts, and he announces the couples who are the attendants, and then the bride and the groom, and everybody cheers and claps. Do they do that in your culture? Yeah, I know they do. I've been to your weddings. Some of them I've even officiated. It's a big deal. There's great joy. And then there's some speeches, and then there's courses of the meal if it's a big affair. Doesn't have to be, but it's what we've made it. And then at some point in the evening, there are little speeches that are kind of peppered into the evening to give a little thoughtfulness. Imagine with me for a minute, because Jesus uses this illustration to talk about when is not the right time to fast. That's when he's there. That's why we're doing this. Imagine for a moment that the best man stands up and says, "Okay, everybody, stand up, please." And everybody stands up. He says, "You know, we need to have a moment of silence here because of the sadness that starting today, this man and this woman, they'll no longer be able to go out and party with their friends whenever they want. They'll no longer be able to just, you know, watch TV whatever they want, do whatever they want, spend their money however they want. Now they have to submit to each other. This is so sad. We just need to take a moment to just be silent and think about what's been lost here." Can you imagine what the family would say? "Get the mic away from that freak. What is wrong with him? This is a day for rejoicing. What is he talking? Sorrow that they can't do their own thing. Give me a break." Obviously, he started drinking too early in the evening. This is Jesus' response. "Are you kidding me? This is a day of joy. This is the day that your ancestors and your parents have been longing to see, every prophet who's ever lived, that this would be the day that I arrive. I'm the groom. I'm here for the party to get started. And you want to know why we're not fasting? This is so not the time for fasting." You see, when Jesus becomes fully present, the need for fasting and longing is gone. Because Jesus says, "I come to be like a spouse to you. I come to be united with you. I come to complete your existence. I come to bring you joy. I come to protect you, to guide you, to be everything a good husband should be. This should be a great day of joy. There aren't enough good men in the world to be husbands in the way that needs to bring joy to this planet." Didn't get any amens off of that. But anyway, it's true, this is not the time for fasting. So how could you even ask that question? This is like a marriage celebration, and that's what it should be. You should long for me to be a part of your experience. You should want to follow me no matter what else you have to do that seems so important. No matter what other message you're listening to, as you follow me, you will discover greater joy than even a wedding banquet with your favorite people. Fasting has a longing to be with Jesus, to feel and experience his closeness, to want to have his presence fill our own center. Just as the glory of his presence on Transfiguration Day eclipsed the mountain and the three disciples were just covering their faces because it was so intense and so amazing, they wanted to build little stations there and stay there forever because it was a holy vision like they'd never seen. Fasting says, "I'm looking for a greater glory. I want to see it with my own eyes. I want to see him come in power and glory. It's not just for Advent, it's for every day. And I fast because I believe that as I do, I will start to catch a glimpse of something brighter than this pathetic existence I live on, this life of every day work, work, work. Strive, strive, strive. Struggle, struggle, struggle." Verse 20. "The days will come." The days will come. Jesus knows that his end is shortly coming, that he'll be taken from the disciples. They will watch a horrific scene and lose him completely. Then they'll receive him back, but then God himself will take him back to heaven. But even then he promises, "I will return for you. I will come for you. And so you must watch for me, seek for me, look for me." And fasting is. It's watching for the Lord. It's seeking for him. It's trying to find his guidance, his will, his wisdom, because he's not here to physically follow like his disciples did. We don't see him often at work. There are visions that are given sometimes, but they're very momentary and temporary. And in some places, they happen more frequently than in our North American continent, where it seems to be rarer than other places more desperate for Christians who look to God for guidance and help and protection. But it doesn't mean it's any less necessary for us to be people who fast, who seek after God, who say, I am longing for you. I am looking for your wisdom and your guidance. I don't just trust in my wisdom. I believe that you will give a greater wisdom and you'll give a greater certainty and peace. And that's what I need, and that's why I fast. That's why every Christian is called to fast, so that we don't simply rely on the resources we have and what we can gather to ourselves to nourish and strengthen ourselves. We long for God to make it known to us. And then in the last verse, Jesus talks about cloth and wine and new and old, and how the patterns of the past are being pressed away, torn apart, blown apart, literally. And he uses these physical examples from the world that's very unlike our own. We use glass bottles for wine and fermentation now. There's no tearing of skins. We still patch our clothes once in a while, but in this culture, we're so rich, as soon as it develops a hole, if that's not stylish, we buy something new. We don't patch anything. My wife chides me often because I darn my socks. I fix the holes on them regularly. I've done it since I was a kid. She's like, that is so stupid. Socks are so cheap, just go buy more. Like, but why? I like these socks. They're perfectly fine. I can do this. No. We just look for the next thing. So spoiled by our wealth, so able to get new. The old is gone. But Jesus says new patterns are about to emerge. New things are coming about. Synagogue worship won't look the same again. The sacrificial system will no longer be necessary. Oh, you faithful, God-fearing, worshiping people of Jewish covenant, you don't understand how much is about to change. The new fix that I'm going to bring is going to spill out, and you're going to find your system torn apart, blown apart, literally, by the new thing that God is doing. Fasting is saying, I need something new. I need God to do something new in me. I can't overcome temptation by myself. I'm incapable of fixing everything in me that needs fixed. I always relate the wrong ways. I always fall back into my old patterns, and I just want to patch up with old ideas, the ways I fixed everything before. But Jesus says, no. When I come to you, I bring new things, and everything will change. Get the new stuff. Stop patching the old. Let it go. I was fascinated by new research being done at John Hopkins University Hospital and Stanford Hospital. Very, very edge of the cusp of medical technology research going on. And they put a short video out about fasting. They say, you know, there's something about fasting. And it's not just a religious practice. Because for some reason, the way our bodies are made, we're almost made healthier when we do it. Watch this video with me from this research.
How long has it been since you last ate? People who fast intermittently often eat within an 8-hour block, leaving 16 hours of fasting in between. During that 16-hour stretch, their bodies undergo an important change that sets them apart from non-fasters. Here's how it works. When you eat, you store some of that energy in the liver as glycogen. But after 10 to 12 hours of not eating, your glycogen reserves will be extremely low. As a result, you may feel more irritable than normal, a term scientists call hangry. The upside is, with little glycogen left, fat cells in your body release fats into your bloodstream. The fat cells head straight to your liver, where they're converted to energy for your body and brain. So you are literally burning fat to survive. Blood samples show that people who had fasted for 12 to 24 hours experienced a 60% increase in energy from fat, with the biggest change occurring after 18 hours. This is the benefit to intermittent fasting because it puts you in a state called ketosis. And it's why researchers think intermittent fasting could be the key to a longer, healthier life. The process of burning fat releases chemicals called ketones. In the brain, ketones trigger the release of an important molecule called BDNF. BDNF helps build and strengthen neurons and neural connections in areas of the brain responsible for learning and memory, which could explain why a boost in ketone production has been shown to improve memory in people with early signs of dementia in as soon as 6 weeks. Increasing ketones in the body is also a common treatment for patients with severe epilepsy. You don't necessarily have to fast to boost your ketone levels. Introducing more fatty foods into your diet and cutting back on carbs can have a similar effect. A group of people who tried this method for 3 months not only lost weight and body fat, but also saw a decrease in blood pressure and a hormone that is related to aging and disease. But scientists have discovered that fasting increases ketone levels more. Ketogenic diets can increase ketones fourfold, whereas fasting has been shown to increase ketones by up to 20-fold. As a result, fasting, compared to a ketogenic diet, may have a stronger, more beneficial effect on overall health. Yet many Americans who eat 3 meals a day with snacks in between never reach ketosis, and therefore aren't producing enough ketones to promote good health. Fasting and ketosis have been a key to our survival from the beginning. They helped our ancient ancestors survive through bouts of starvation, and today, they're becoming recognized as a way to help keep future generations mentally and physically disease-free.
So as the science tells us, we were made for fasting. There are actual health benefits from putting ourselves in a state like that. But the Lord knows that we're physical and spiritual and that these things are interlocked, for He's created us that way. And so we shan't be surprised when the research of science reinforces the very concepts that the Lord and His covenants call us to enter into. A new bodily pattern can emerge when we give ourselves to the spiritual discipline of fasting. Another form of new that comes into our lives as a result of fasting is liberation from earth-boundedness. You see, the things we take into our system come from the plants that grow and the animals that are on the earth and in the sea. And every time we take these things into our body, we remind ourselves that we are creatures of the earth. But our determination and our mental capacity to resist our instincts, unlike all other animals, and to choose what is separated from the earth, sets us higher. We were made for more of life than just the things that bind us to the earth. And when we choose to fast for a short or a long period of time, we say, I will not be bound by earth. I was made for something more than just what the planet offers. I will not worship the planet or come to it to sustain my life. I believe that God sustains my life, whether or not the planet produces for me what is vital to my survival. We say to God through fasting, I am physically free to be with you, a spirit creature made in your image, who does survive on the goodness of the gifts of food you have given. But I am not fully dependent upon food for my strength, my source of life, my wellness. And in this way, a new pattern of fasting emerges. One of the fathers of the church, John Wesley, on whose name is in our system and whose teachings we take quite seriously, said, I will never ordain a person to the ministry who has not made a regular pattern of fasting at least 2 days a week. Because if a person cannot stand up and rely on God rather than the physical resources and the passions of their own desires, then they're not fit to lead God's people. Wow, how far we've come since then. Are we people who are willing to say, Lord, I depend on you as my source of life? And when your spirit feeds me, you fill up the hungry, hangry, angry places within me. One of the hows of fasting involves this, choosing which meals or which set of patterns you will use. And when you feel that longing from inside, you say, give food, give water, turning that energy directly to God in prayer and saying, Father, I need you more than I need this. Today, nourish me, help, bless, bring change. Do what you can do to let your kingdom come on earth. Begin it in my feeble frame. Amazing how when we do that, the physical, the spiritual, and yes, even the emotional, begin a new pattern. We were made to be liberated from this earth, not bound to it, not worshipers of it, not even in the ritual of our patterns of food, but yet how easily we take them in because we can, because it's there. God calls us to new patterns of living, new ways of seeing things we did not see before. And sometimes when we fast and seek God for our own selves, for our communities, for our families, for our world, we perceive things that we did not perceive before because our senses are no longer deadened by the things of this earth that we take to ourselves. New wine, new cloth, new patterns, they become a part of the kingdom alive in us. My dear friends, hear the call, the invitation of the Lord to take up this spiritual discipline. I'm making a way that I want to encourage you to do just this. If I can get the next slide to advance, just advance to the next slide if you can. If you can't, that's fine. Thank you. We're about to enter into Lent. Transfiguration was the day that Jesus set himself to his journey to the cross. This coming Wednesday marks the beginning of Lent by Catholic and Orthodox and Protestant traditions everywhere. It's a 40-day period when we think not just about following the Lord, but drawing closer to Christ. And I've titled our plan for Lent, Drawing Closer to Christ. The insert in the bulletin has a listing of what I think we might do to move closer to Christ, to follow him as his disciples. And I want to encourage you to do this as I have chosen to do this, that together we may fast and pray and seek the Lord's bidding. Beginning this Thursday, which is the day after Lent starts, we're going to have worship services on Thursday and on Sunday. And on each of those days, we will focus on one of those who first followed Jesus. We'll look at their life, their character, their pattern, their choice, not just when they followed Jesus, but also hear from tradition what happened to them in the rest of their following after Jesus went back to heaven. I hope that you will make a commitment to join us for a Thursday and a Sunday service every week for the next 6 weeks. Now, there's an option on Thursday. If you're a person who is retired or who works nights, there's a 9 o'clock in the morning worship service that we will host here. The worship service can be the beginning of your day of fasting if you choose to enter this discipline. We will worship musically. We will pray some together. We will take Holy Communion together every single Thursday. If you work during the day and you can come in the evening, we will do the exact same service we did in the morning in the evening at 7:15. Don't come to both. You don't need to, unless God tells you you need to be both times praying and worshiping me all day long. But just come to one. I won't look at you. I won't look for you at both. I just want you to choose the morning or the evening. When you come in the evening, same thing. Musical worship, some prayer, the taking of Holy Communion, committing ourselves to the fast. For those of you who come in the morning, you may choose that you'll take communion and that will be it. You'll trust God to sustain you through that. And for those of you who come in the evening, fast during the day and come and receive the elements of communion as your only food, as a way of saying to God, you are the one who provides my spiritual strength. Now, every time I bring up this subject, someone says, oh, but I have health issues, I can't do that. Okay, fine. Do what you need to do. But make a commitment to do something that denies yourself things that keep you bound to the earth. Do something, even one meal, even a modification, whatever the Lord leads you to do. Pray during these days. that you may take up this practice and discover what new insights, what new changes, what new patterns God wants to create in you. Be not bound to the earth. Be not bound to old patterns. Do not conform to the culture around you, but be transformed as God the Spirit renews your heart and mind and soul as you express your freedom as a willing spirit creature made in the image of God to say, I will give myself to you, Lord. I will lean on you. And when I feel that hunger, that anger, I will call out to you. I wonder what the Lord will say to you. I wonder what the Lord will show you. I wonder what beautiful things God will do as you take that time to intercede for others who desperately need him, people whose names you've put on this board up here, people who we pray for and will pray for in just a moment again. Give yourself to draw close to Christ. One of three ways you may do that. One, maybe you're here and you've never walked with Christ in baptism. Lent in the history of the church has always been a season of preparation for baptism, to make a public expression of faith in Christ. And if you've never done that, I would love to coach you through this season of 6 weeks to prepare you for baptism at Easter. And what a beautiful time that that could be for you. If that's something you'd like to do, take a card from the pew rack in front of you, write your name in a big letter B for baptism, and give it to me or put it in the plate here before you leave today. Maybe that would be your intention to draw closer to Christ. Or maybe secondly, you're going to make a commitment to fast. I don't need to know what that commitment is. That's between you and God. You don't need me to coach you in that. You know what fasting is. It's very simple. Make your commitment. Make it this week. And when you come to worship on Thursday, let that be your expression that you are seeking the Lord for his nourishment and not the food that you might otherwise take. I guess that was two and three together, wasn't it? Two was committing yourself to be in a Thursday worship service, and three was the call to fast. Baptism, worship on Thursday, call to fast. Our musicians are coming. As they do, we're going to sing a song of response. Response to God's call and preparation to pray together as we do in sacred community here during this hour.